You mentioned the Canadian study reporting on the elderly. Can you talk about that?
Yes. It's one of the first analyses of outcome in the elderly in the adjuvant setting. The investigators who brought us the ANITA trial are currently conducting an analysis, but their data are not yet uniformly available. But the BR10 trial, the sub-analysis, was presented by Carmela Pepe at ASCO during the lung plenary session. And they use 65 as their cutoff. It's somewhat arbitrary. How we define elderly is open to debate. Is it 65? Is it 70? Is it really 75? Certainly, most of us define it as at least 10 or 15 years older than we are. But in their analysis, those who were over 65 actually constituted about a third of the accrual to BR10. So it was a fairly large group. And I suspect that was the reason they chose 65. It would have been a much smaller percentage, obviously, if it had been 70. Amongst the elderly, a higher percentage with squamous histology, which is probably no surprise because probably the nature of the cigarettes many of these folks had smoked when they were in their teens, 20s, and 30s, they were unfiltered. Clearly a higher proportion of men who are more likely to have squamous histology. Intriguingly, the elderly had a lower percentage of PS0 patients. I would have thought by the very nature of the study, by selection alone, they would have preferentially picked relatively more fit elderly patients, but they didn't. The upshot, the elderly had a survival benefit. The younger patients did better across the board, but relatively speaking, comparing chemo to observation, there was still a survival benefit. And that benefit was on the order of 12% or so, 12% absolute difference in survival. The one group that did not seem to benefit, in fact, had terrible outcome regardless, were patients 75 years of age or older. And that was a very small percentage overall. It was about, I would guess, about 5 or 6% of the overall population. And their five-year survival was in the order of 25 to 30%, whereas the rest of the group had a five-year survival in excess of 60%.
How much of that was non-cancer mortality?
Intriguing. The elderly are about fourfold more likely to have non-cancer cause of death. Under 65, non-cancer death rate in that study was maybe 4.5%, 5% for the elderly, and here it was defined to 65 or older. It was on the order of about 16 or 17%. So they're competing causes of death, competing comorbidity. Folks over 65 who've undergone resection and who've smoked are probably at relatively higher risk for heart disease, for emphysema.
What about toxicity from chemotherapy and delivery of chemotherapy?
It was impaired. The elderly were less likely to complete chemotherapy. They were more likely to bail out either because of toxicity or for other concerns. Their overall dose intensity was less. The toxicities overall, when you look at it just generally, weren't that much worse. They actually had less myalgias, probably because they got less vinorelbine in that study. But they also had no increased incidence of myelosuppression or neutropenic fever, which frankly I was surprised by. But this may be more a token of the treatment delivery rather than true increased risk.
What was your overall take from this presentation and how did it compare to your own clinical experience?
The fit elderly are capable of receiving adjuvant therapy. The fit elderly will benefit from adjuvant chemotherapy. People often argue if they're 70 or 72, they don't have that many years left. That's not true. If you look at actuarial tables, otherwise healthy 70-year-old probably has 15 to 18 years on average left. We're talking about a meaningful chunk of their existence. So to deny a fit elderly patient the opportunity at least to get adjuvant chemotherapy is really not founded by the data.
How do you approach selection of regimen in the elderly as opposed to younger patients?
Well, that's a big dilemma. Elderly are more likely to be deaf. They're more likely to have renal impairment. They're more likely to have comorbidities, which is going to make the obligatory fluid load we give with cisplatin a lot tougher. So frankly, frequently in the elderly, I will use carboplatin. I'll use that again in stage 2 and 3A. The rules I mentioned earlier about tending to use cisplatin again probably applied a lot more systematically to younger patients, certainly those in their 50s and to probably at least those up to 65. But if a patient has hearing compromise, you're not going to give them cisplatin.